Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. Last week, we started talking about having deeper roots for better fruits. We looked at Psalm chapter 1 to start our service, the sermon with, you know, the psalmist said that blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He says he delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. In other words, the law of God, the word of God, the Bible comes a part of us. And when that happens, that we're like a tree planted by rivers of water with deep, deep roots. It produces forth the fruits, the proper fruits in its season. It says it won't be shaken or blown down. You know, like this tree that we looked at last week. And this is a common sight in the springtime in Michigan. After the ground gets all muddy and soggy and soft, after the long winter of frozen ground and snow and all that, and strong storms come along, just blow trees over, roots and all. We don't want to be like the tree that could be blown over with any wind that just comes along. We want to have a tree, be a tree that's got deep, deep roots. And when we have deep roots, not only can we stand the test of the storms, but we begin to produce fruits that God wants us to produce. You know, out of Galatians chapter 5, 22, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things. So as we begin to dive deeper into the Word of God, it's an important thing for our spiritual health. And we talked in chapter 7 last week, Hebrews chapter 7, really, 7 and 8 is the focal point of the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 7, he began to explain to the readers, and we don't have time to go through the whole sermon from last week, but real briefly how he explained to the Jewish reader how that Jesus is the high priest, but he's not the high priest in the line of Aaron, the original high priest from the tribe of Levi. No, Jesus is the high priest in the line or in the order of Melchizedek. King Melchizedek was the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem before it became Jerusalem, and it meant king of righteousness, king of peace. He ruled in righteousness, and therefore it produced peace. He had a kingdom of peace and righteousness. But when Abraham went and he met Melchizedek, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and then Melchizedek turned and blessed Abraham, showing that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. And the point of Hebrews chapter 7 was that because the Jewish nation came from Abraham, the Levites, the tribe of Levi, which was the tribe of the priest, came from Abraham. Therefore, the tribe of Levi was paying tithes to Melchizedek when Abraham paid. And so that Melchizedek's line of priesthood is going to therefore be better than the line of the priesthood from Aaron. And we talked about how Jesus and his priesthood is better. And that God promised King David that there would be a king on his throne forever. And we know that was Jesus, who is the king of Israel. But God also promised David that the king would also be the priest of Israel. That's Psalm 10, 104. And so this king that came from David because of the promise of God, not because of the line of Aaron, this king was also priest. So Jesus is king of Israel, but he is also our high priest, and he is our priest of the new and better covenant that he explained in chapter 7. And today we're going to talk about the new covenant as we continue to dig in deep into the Word of God to grow some deeper roots so that we can produce better fruits as Christians. And this new covenant is the one that Jesus brought when he came to the earth. There were several covenants in the Old Testament. And a covenant is simply this. It's an agreement between two parties. And in the covenant, there's some conditions, and sometimes there's promises. Well, way back, the first covenant was between God and Adam. And remember, God made Adam, placed him in the Garden of Eden, and he said what? You can eat of all the trees except for this one right here. Don't eat of that tree or you're going to die. Well, what happened? We all know what happened. Adam, what did he do? He broke the covenant. And when Adam broke the covenant, disobeying God, he therefore brought sin into the world. And what did sin bring along with it? Death. So you and I now live under the curse of sin and death because Adam broke the first covenant. Well, God didn't just walk away at that point. He says, I love you too much. God made another covenant with Adam, and God made a promise. And he said, I promise you, okay, this covenant, it's temporary, but I'm going to bring a permanent solution one day. Well, many, many years later, along comes Noah. And we all know the story of Noah, right? God made a covenant with Noah after the flood. And God made a promise to Noah in that covenant. And what was the promise? No more flood. No more worldwide flood. God said, I won't destroy the earth with flood ever again. And we have the sign of that promise even today, right? It is the rainbow. It is the sign of the Noahic covenant. Well, after that comes along Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham, and God made a promise to Abraham. And in this covenant, in this promise, God made a promise that from the line of Abraham, he would bless the entire world. And we know that now is the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And after that along came the Mosaic covenant, where God made a covenant with the nation of Israel. And in this Mosaic covenant, it's where he established the laws, the rules, the regulations, and he established the Levitical priesthood. Levitical means from the tribe of Levi. Levi was one of the 12 sons of Israel. And it is from the Levi tribe that the high priest came. And God made this covenant with Moses. And this covenant came with some conditions as well as promises. And God says, if you'll follow the rules, I'll bless you. If you break the rules, you'll be cursed. And what did Israel do? They broke the rules. Why? Because they're humans, just like you and I. We break rules. That's what human beings do. And so they were cursed. And they lived under this Mosaic covenant for a long, long time. And along come the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant didn't put away the Mosaic covenant. But that covenant with David was that, David, I'm going to have a king on the throne of Israel forever, and he's going to come from your descendants. So we have the Davidic covenant that God made a promise to David that you're going to rule through your descendants forever. So we have all these covenants in the Old Testament. But even in these Old Testament covenants, they were looking forward to the new covenant, when the Messiah would come. And when the Messiah comes, he establishes a new covenant, a new agreement between God the Father and his creation, mankind. And you and I today live under this new covenant that God has made. And that covenant, the mediator, is our King and our High Priest, Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. And see, and that brings us to chapter 8, where the writer of Hebrews says this. Now, this is the main point of the things that we're saying. He goes, I've been talking about this for 7 chapters now. We, you and I, have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on the earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So he says, here's the main point, that you and I have this priest, Jesus Christ, who didn't come from the line of Aaron, he came from the line of Melchizedek. And Jesus is now serving at the true temple, at the true tabernacle, the one created in heaven by God himself. And that is where he sits, and that where he serves. He's not serving here on this earth. If Jesus were to be serving on the earth as a priest, he would be doing it after the order of Aaron, or in the line of Aaron, which will make him just a man. But Jesus, when he ascended back into heaven, he went and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And there he sits, and where he applied his blood on the true and permanent and eternal altar, and he makes the true and permanent eternal sacrifice for your sins and my sin. And that is way better than the temporary one that was established through Moses. Because the men who served as priests in the line of Aaron, it says that they serve a copy in the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, God said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So God told Moses, when he gave him the Mosaic covenant, and he gave him the laws, the rules, and the regulations, he also gave him the blueprint for the temple, for the tabernacle. And God said, make it exactly like this, because this is a copy of the real thing in heaven. And we all know, and we all understand, that a copy is not as valuable as the original, is it? There's lots and lots and lots of copies of the Mona Lisa, but not a single one of them is as valuable as the one hanging in Paris. Paris, right? The Louvre, I think. I'm not an art person, so if I get that wrong, sorry. But I do know this. They got that Mona Lisa hanging up there, and I saw a picture, and it's got glass, and it's got stuff all covered it because there's knuckleheads that like to throw stuff at it because that thing's valuable. The copies are not valuable. So the copy of the Mosaic Covenant, the copy that Moses had made, he did it exactly like God said, but it was never intended to be like the original. But now, he has obtained a more excellent ministry. That Jesus' minister as high priest is far better than the ministry of any human priest. That's why you and I do not need to go to a priest. It's good if you go to your pastor and have conversations and have him pray for you, but you can go directly to Jesus. And where is Jesus sitting? Right next to God the Father. You got a direct line to God the Father. So he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he also is a mediator of a better covenant. The covenant that Jesus brought is better than the old covenant. And it was established on better promises. Why? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Johnny just read that for us. Behold, the days are coming. That the new covenant that you and I have, established in Christ Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man, that it is far better than that old covenant. And it comes with better promises. It comes with promises of an eternal relationship with God your Father. It comes with the promises of one day there will not be sin and death. It comes with the promise that your relationship was going to be good from now on. No more arguing and fighting. We're going to have peace and love and joy and hope and all of these things because of the covenant that Jesus has with you and I and with God. And one day in the future, we call it heaven. We're going to go to heaven someday if you're a believer. And there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more dying, no more fighting, no more children without homes, no more abuse, no more divorce. It's going to be wonderful. Do you know what I believe? I believe that you and I, while we cannot obtain that promise in this life, we can bring a little bit of that promise to this life when we follow the new covenant. And the new covenant was explained to the nation of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 31. Even in the Old Testament time, while they were living under the Mosaic covenant, God, through Jeremiah and other prophets, promised a better way. Because those rules and those regulations of the old covenant, they couldn't save anybody. Following a list of rules doesn't make for good relationships. It might make for good citizens, but it doesn't make good relationships. So God promised a better way. And in Jeremiah 31, he said this, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a what? A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. He goes, this new covenant I make, it's not going to be like the old one that I established with Moses when I brought them out of Egypt. And by the way, they couldn't follow that covenant anyway, and so therefore they had to face the consequences of not following that covenant. The new covenant, God says, that I'm going to make with you is not like the old covenant. It's like this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Jesus says, under the new covenant, I'm not going to remember their sins. This new covenant that Jesus has with you and I, number one, it's individual. The covenant with Moses was a national covenant. This is an individual covenant with you. You are unique. You have an individual relationship with your Creator in heaven. Your relationship is not like my relationship, and that is a good thing. My relationship is not like yours. You each are loved by God as an individual who you are, not as a collection of a body. So this covenant you have with God is unique to you. That's why when I tell you, I prefer scripture reading and prayer in the mornings, but if it works better for you at night, okay. Because your relationship with God is different than mine. But not only is it unique, it is also spiritual. He said, where am I going to write my laws? In your mind and in your heart. He didn't write it on a list of papers for a checklist. We don't have a checklist in the back where you walk in. Yep, I did that, I did that, I didn't do that this week, right? I don't have to do that. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. And you know when you walk through the doors like, oh. Because God talks to you individually, spiritually. But we need to be careful when we talk about it as a thing of the Spirit. Because what did Jesus say to the woman at the well? Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And where do you find truth? The Word of God. There's a lot of people love to claim to be spiritual. But if you're spiritual and you're not worshiping in truth, that means the spirit you're worshiping with are not from God. They're satanic. But you worship God in spirit and in truth. And this new covenant is not following a list of rules and regulations. It's following God as an individual. And it's He teaches you and He tells you and He explains to you how you need to live your life. He's not throwing out all of the old rules. In these verses, let's be careful here. He's not saying that if I feel good and if I think it's the right thing to do, then that makes it the right thing to do. Though that's not what He says at all. It's all founded on the Word of God. And when He says that the old covenant has gone away, that's the Mosaic Covenant. The laws of morality still apply to us today. They existed before the Mosaic Covenant. And they exist today and they will always exist. And a matter of fact, Jesus, when He came along, you go back and you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you read the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talks about this. He upped the ante when it comes to how we treat people. It's a thing of the Spirit. He goes, remember, for example, you've heard it said that you should not commit adultery. But what was Jesus' rule? Don't even look at a woman and lust after her. A thing of the heart. Because, see, the old covenant focused on the outside and the rules. And the outside rules do not really change a person. Jesus comes along and He focuses on the inside and on your heart. And Jesus knows if your heart changes, the rest of you changes. Jesus is offering us transformation that takes place from the inside out. That if I truly am in love with my wife, I don't need a rule because I love my wife. And Jesus is about the internal transformation. And the new covenant is about what's on the inside. And now you live out what is within your heart. And God says, I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. I will be merciful to your sins. God is always there to forgive of our sins. So this new covenant, it's individual and it is spiritual. And it brings with us the promise of a better relationship. And so you and I have the opportunity to bring better relationships into this world. And when you begin to be transformed by Jesus Christ, you begin to see your relationships transformed. He then goes on to say this. In that He says a new covenant, He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Not that there's no value in the Old Testament. Not that reading and studying the Old Testament is worthless and pointless. That is not true. We have much to learn from the Old Testament scriptures. But when He's saying that the Old Testament was that Mosaic covenant itself, just that covenant, is now obsolete, means it's no longer effective or impacting our lives today. That you and I relate to God through the new covenant, not through the old covenant. And it's very interesting, He says, it's becoming obsolete and it's growing old. And it's ready to vanish away. And shortly after He finished the book of Hebrews, Nero sent General Vespasian into Jerusalem and to squash down a Jewish rebellion. In AD 70, he destroyed the temple, destroyed the nation of Israel, and they were scattered throughout the world. And in AD 70, when the temple was destroyed, the altar was destroyed, and it was torn apart, that put an end to all of the Old Testament Levitical sacrifices. And Israel was no longer a nation until 1948. And all of that has a big impact on how we understand our future and the prophecies of the Scripture But we're not going there today. So it's very interesting that he's made a prophetic statement here that that system's going away for a time. Someday Jesus is going to come back and he's going to rule and reign on this earth as king. And it's going to be for 1,000 years and it's going to be literal. But he will be king and he will be high priest from and through the nation of Israel. But for today, the Old Testament system is obsolete and we live under this new covenant. So, what are the conditions for the new covenant? We know the promise of a better relationship, of a holy relationship, of a relationship without sin, without the death, without the pain, without the suffering. But what are the conditions of the new covenant? What is it that we have been called to do? If Jesus is our mediator between us and God the Father, what is it that Jesus asks of us? God the Father sits on His throne. Jesus, who took on a body like ours, now sits next to Him to make intercession for us. And here on the earth, the third person of God, the Trinity, is the Holy Spirit inside of us, helping us understand God while Jesus relates us to God. Jesus with the body. You and I have this relationship with God. So what is it we're supposed to do? Where's the rules? What's the list that I'm supposed to follow? And if you're like me, I kind of like lists and I like to-do lists and checklists. It makes life easy. Got that done, got that done. Actually missed one this week. I forgot to make notes for our morning life group. Sorry about that, folks. If missed the checkbox, it happens. But following lists and rules and stuff is easy. Having relationships is hard. And Jesus, remember, He focused on the heart. He focused on the inside. And in John chapter 13, right before He was arrested, tried, and crucified, for your sins and mine, He told His followers, He told the apostles this. So when He had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God also will also glorify in Himself and glorify Him immediately. My time has come," He's saying. "It is ready for me to do the thing that I came to do. And once that is done, God will then glorify and honor me, and I will go back to my rightful place in heaven. Those little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come." So Jesus told them, "I'm going away, I'm leaving, I'm going back to heaven, but don't worry about it, I'm coming back. But in the meantime, I say to you, a new commandment I give. That you what? Right, you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And from time to time we sing that really, really old hippie song. We are one in the Spirit, right? They will know we are Christians by our love. It's so, so true. They know we are Christians, how we treat each other. How are we to love each other? Because Jesus loved us. How did Jesus love you? He died on the cross. He sacrificed Himself for you. See, the standard of how I'm supposed to treat you is not how you treat me. The standard of how you're supposed to treat other people is not how they treat you. It's how Jesus treats you. That's the standard. And if I'm living up to that standard, I don't need any rules. If I'm living to the standard that Jesus set, the rest of it takes care of itself. And it's a hard standard, and it's a high standard. I understand that. But that is the standard that Jesus has called you to, and He's called me to. We're to love like Jesus. And then He went on to say, and a little bit later in John chapter 15, that same night, He goes, "Greater love has no one than this," than to what? Lay down one's life for his friends. The greatest of love is when you lay down your life for somebody else. And what did Jesus do shortly after He made that statement? He laid down His life for you. Make no mistake, man did not kill Jesus. Jesus laid down His life, and there is a difference. He was God. He is God. He will always be God. Man could not and cannot kill Him, but He willingly laid down His life for your sins and my sins, and He sacrificed it Himself. And He says, if you're going to follow me, that's the standard. Makes it kind of easy to understand, hard to follow, correct? Paul comes along a little bit later, And in his letter to the church in Philippi, he wrote in the Philippians chapter 2, he said this, in your relationships with one another. Because you cannot have a good relationship with God when you have a bad relationship with man. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You and I are to think like Jesus when we interact with each other in this room. What would Jesus do? Remember the bracelets? Anybody ever wear those bracelets? The WWJD bracelet? Or is that way, way back there? I had a WWJD bracelet for a long time. What would Jesus do? Have this mindset. What? Who? Being in the very nature, God. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Hey there, little buddy. You want to help me preach? He loves being on the stage. Maybe that's our next music minister. I'm not sure I'll be around when he's old enough to do that, but we'll find out. But you and I are to think like Jesus, and we're to love like Jesus. And Jesus, how did he love us? He loved us sacrificially, and he loved us humbly. And that is the standard of the new covenant. That is the way you and I can bring a little bit of heaven into our homes. That is a way you and I can bring a little bit of heaven into our church. How many of you here were here Friday night? If you were here, wasn't that just a great time? We just cooked food and ate food and had a blast. Man, I walked in here after cooking a little bit, and thanks to all of you that helped cook and clean and all of that, and just it was just so good. I walked in, and it was just noisy and loud, and it was that happy kind of noise. Man, that's just a little bit of heaven right there. Grilled hamburgers, good fellowship. Ain't much better than that. And sharing the love of Jesus to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people when we love the way Jesus called us. So the question then becomes, what part of your life are you willing to lay down, provide, and protect the other person? Odds are you will never have to lay down your life completely. You'll never have to die for somebody else. It's possible, but not likely here in America. But you are called to lay down a part of your life to provide and to protect your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you willing, gentlemen, to lay down your video game controller to go help your wife with a project she needs help with? Or maybe it's just to take out the trash. Are you willing to lay down your book so you can spend some quality time with your spouse? Are you willing to lay down your TV remote so you can spend time with your child coloring in a coloring book that means little to you, but to them it means the world? Are you willing to lay down your hobby to go help a brother or sister in Christ take care of a need that they have? Are you willing to lay down something that you want to do in order to build the kingdom of God and help a brother and sister in Christ that has a need? That's how we love like Jesus. Are you willing to give up your desire to be liked in order to speak the truth in love to someone? Are you willing, parent, to give up your desire to be liked by your children to tell them no? Because you know that what they're asking for is harmful. Are you willing to tell your teenager, I'm sorry, you can't have that password because I know what's on the other side of that password and it's a bunch of garbage. And I'm going to protect you even though you don't think you need protection. Are you willing to tell your teenager, no, you can't go to that party because I know that's not a good place for you to go? Are you willing to give up your desire to be liked in order to speak the truth in love? Are you willing to give up your desire to fit in and be popular with the crowd in order to follow Jesus and stand firm in your faith? Are you willing to give up your desire to be a loner? To just live in your own little bubble and ignore the rest of the world so you can be a participant in the kingdom of God knowing that God has called you to be a member of the body of Christ for your benefit and for theirs. What are you willing to lay down for your brother and sister in Christ? When you lay down something for someone else, now you have the mindset of Jesus Christ. So as Holly comes, prepares for the invitation, what are you willing to lay down? What is it that God needs you to lay down today or wants you to lay down today? What is it that that person next to you or behind you or in front of you or at home, what is it that they need of you to lay down so you can then love them like Jesus? Holly's going to play the song here in just a minute, Jesus Loves Me, the one we sang earlier. It's such a beautiful, beautiful song, and I know you love it. Jesus loved you so much, He laid down His life for you. He left the throne in heaven. He became a baby. He could have come. Remember, He's the rightful king. He wasn't born in a kingdom. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born where? In a stable, in a manger, around a bunch of smelly animals probably, maybe, I don't know. But He humbled Himself to that, and even more, He humbled Himself to the worst death possible for you. And so what He asks of you is, now you lay down your life for them. So my question that I want you to ask God today as Holly plays, with heads bowed and eyes closed, God, what do you want me to lay down today?